Recording in progress.
Good evening. We'll call to order the City Council meeting for the City of Atascadero and ask Mayor Pro Tem Funk to lead us in a pledge to the flag.
Please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo.
Here.
Councilmember Daris.
Here.
Councilmember Newsom.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Here.
Mayor Moreno.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. For those of you attending in person, welcome. And if anybody is watching on Zoom, we welcome you as well. If you're on YouTube, listening on 1230, watching on channel 20, and you'd like to call in for community forum or any other item on the agenda, I recommend calling soon because this will be a fairly short meeting, so I would call right away and be on hold. And let me give you that phone number. It is 669-900-6833. Again, that number is 669-900-6833. And when you call in, you'll need to input a meeting ID, and that meeting ID is 889-2347-9018. Again, meeting ID 889-2347-9018. All right, we're going to move on to the consent calendar. Items on the consent calendar are considered to be routine and non-controversial by staff and can be approved and voted in one motion unless a member of the council requires separate consideration. So I will start by opening up public comment for the consent calendar items. Is there anyone here in chambers that would like to speak to the consent calendar? Please come forward.
Good evening, Council. Jeff Oslin. Quick question on number five. Why do we need an additional person for plan check? That's my only question. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other person in chambers wishing to speak? On consent? No? Okay. We'll have community forum in just a moment. Yes. Okay. So no other item. No one there. Anyone on Zoom wanting to speak? I'm not seeing anybody on Zoom that wants to speak. Nobody on the phone. Correct, Luke? Okay. So I will close public comment and bring that back to council. Are there any council members wishing to ask a question or pull an item? If not, I will ask staff to address Mr. Austin's question.
Sure. It's really just a matter of demand. So our number of permits are up, so the contract inspections are up. So we collect the fees. This is just amending the budget to be offset by the fees paid for that review. So it just means we're busy and people are building.
Yes. Excellent. Thank you very much. All right. Can I get a motion, please?
I'll move approval of the consent calendar.
I'll second.
We had a motion by Councilmember Borbo and a second by Councilmember Daris. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Daris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. We're on to updates from the city manager, Mr. Lewis.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor, members of council. We have a lot tonight. I want to start with a really cute picture here of the baby mongoose lemur. I think we have, if we can take a look at that. There, the baby. So this is another new addition to our zoo. The zoo, it's spring, and we have a baby squirrel, and here we're showing the baby mongoose lemur. That was really exciting to have that the lemur was born last week and can be seen by our visitors. The adorable mongoose lemur will spend the first 3 weeks clinging to mother. So if you want to see that, you need to get over to the zoo very soon. But really, really kind of fun. The Party for the Planet Earth Day celebration was huge on Saturday. And we had a special unveiling of the Slow Beaver Brigade mural. It's really impressive. I may have a slide for that. And it's beautiful. It showcases how our local beavers are part of the ecosystem. Murals made possible through the California Coastal Commission Whale Tail Grants Program. There it is. And that's through the license plates. And from the San Luis Obispo Beaver Brigade in collaboration with the zoo and the city. So just a terrific mural there. And you can see Audrey Taub of the Salil Beaver Brigade and Chumash artist John Coos. The event also had 15 vendors highlighting conservation in our area, both at the zoo and around our county, and all ages were able to learn a lot about sustainability, protection of animals, et cetera. Several educational demonstrations. Our new zoo educator was doing an incredible job. So just really they stepped up the event. And these kind of events are important for our accreditation as well, that we are encouraging conservation mindedness. So now while people were enjoying Earth Day and baby lemurs, we, the council and the executive team, were working very hard on Saturday at your annual workshop. And I just wanted to kind of recap for the public some of the incredible decisions that you made. And they're exciting. On Saturday, the council voted to move forward, or directed us to move forward, with new plans for Fire Station 1. So you gave us the green light to move forward with a demolition of Fire Station 1 and a rebuild of a roughly 18 to 19,000 square foot fire station. It'll be very modern. It'll fit at the existing site. We'll be renovating Station 2 and also renovating the police department. And so really great conversations. We will move forward with a request for qualifications for design firms and architecture firms. So if you're interested in that, be on the lookout for that within the next month to move forward to get firms to bid or express interest. And then we will have a design competition, basically. We'll invite a couple firms and move forward in the design build process. So all that said, with the direction you gave, we could be demolishing our fire department in less than a year. So pretty, fire station,
not the department.
We love the fire department. Thank you for the correction. The fire department is very important to us.
You don't want to give
class,
our fire chief
first
a
class
heart attack.
People.
We have to have the paramedics.
Sorry, there. Chief Bryson. I appreciate that correction. I wasn't very good talking about architects on Saturday either, was I? Oh, very exciting. Further, the council approved us to keep moving forward in being an accredited zoo for the American Zoological Association. And the American Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And we talked about a process, timeline, improvements to the zoo. And staff is very excited. Great discussion. So you'll hear more about our accreditation process. Our application is due the 1st of September, so there'll be a lot of activity at the zoo between now and then. You updated your legislative platform. We'll bring that back to you at your next meeting on consent with areas of interest to the council. You endorsed our plans for a community engagement program, ways to get more information out to the community through engagement in neighborhoods and in the commercial sector, at engagement meetings, a newsletter. We talked about our social media efforts, so really good discussions there. The council did direct staff to return with a discussion on short-term rentals and options for how we could track, monitor, and regulate short-term rentals if the council wanted to do that. You didn't give us direction to regulate short-term rentals. You want a homework assignment back for the council to discuss what that might look like and if you're interested in doing that. And you received an update on our essentialism efforts to make sure the city's operating more efficiently and really focus on the things we need to be doing, the A-plus tasks, and an update on our employee culture and mission statement. So just a great Saturday. We were working together for about 5 hours, and I really appreciated the council's focus. It was terrific. Okay, it is early in this week. Next slide. It is residential waste drop-off week, so we are trying to promote this as much as we can. This is your time for spring cleaning. You had your garage sale and the citywide garage sale last weekend, and now what you didn't sell, if you can't recycle it, you can take it to the dump for free. So you can go get your voucher at the waste management office, which is over, is the address on there? It's over off of, Pueblo, 8740 Pueblo Avenue, Suite B. It's on the first floor on the corner, kind of near the credit union there in Pueblo. Or you can call 805-466-3636. But there are vouchers for your free load to the dump this week. Our paving project, you can see paving markings are going in. This Thursday, April 25th, will be the final pavement work. So we have gotten through that. It looks terrific. And downtown is spruced up with new streets and striping, and I believe we picked up a few more spots too as we were working on some of the angles. More improvements to the community. There's construction areas and some flag people throughout the on Traffic Way. The city has begun work on Lift Station 13, and this is the Force Main replacement project you approved some time ago. That also includes replacement of Lift Station 13 at El Camino near San Ramon. 2 miles of Force Main along a new alignment on Santa Cruz Road and Traffic Way will be part of this project. So this is underway. So if you see that work, you can get updated project guide timelines and where we are at atascadero.org/project, which is where we have a number of our cattle projects, /liftstation13. So if you want to see where we're working and what we're doing, you can go to that. As we look to celebrate, the Tamale Festival is coming up May 3rd and 4th. So there's the flyer for that. Very exciting. It kicks off with Fiesta Friday from 5:30 to 8 in the downtown. And so you will be able to purchase tamales early, get your sneak peek, and get in on the event. We have fireworks scheduled, weather permitting, at 8 p.m. The best vantage point, of course, is from the Sutton Gardens looking east to the Fine Arts Academy. Tascadero Chamber's Sip and Shop will be going on. That's 15 businesses hosting wine, beer, and other goodies. So you want to make sure you're out shopping and enjoying wine and a beautiful evening. Fiesta Friday is free, but if you want tamales or a ticket to Sip and Shop, you'll certainly want to get those. You'll need some cash for those. For the Tamale Festival, the main event will be from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. We have over 100 vendors, food, drinks, merchandise, and 30 of these vendors will be specializing in traditional gourmet and sweet tamales. We have a number of entertainments. We have dancing horses, mariachi bands, folkloric dancing, the actual judging of the best tamale contest, tamale eating contest, pet costume contest, and a lot of live music. So should be terrific, and that is on the 4th. Finally, we did have a question about zoo summer camp, since I wanted to raise attention to that. We have set the zoo summer camps, so we're announcing them. We have Junior Zookeeper Program, ages 12 to 14, animals working together, learning about animals from around the world and how they work together. This is ages 5 through 8, 9 through 12. We have a special camp called Scales, Shells, and Talons. This is also 5 through 8 and 9 through 12, and it all starts June 24th through July 19th at the zoo. Beginning April 29th, you can register for our camp. So we're excited to announce those. You can always get more information at atascadero.org or visit atascadero.com. Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Scales, Shells, and Talons. No. But I could imagine my nephew, when he was very young, being all about that. So I think that's exciting that we're doing those programs for the kids. All right, any questions? Mayor Pro Tem.
Yes, I know, Mr. Lewis, we're all looking forward to the Tamale Festival. Could you clarify for the folks whether the fireworks are Friday night or Saturday night?
The fireworks are Friday night at 8 p.m.
Friday
night. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you.
And further clarification, is it the chamber that's selling the tickets for the Sip and Stroll?
Yes, they're sold by the Chamber of Commerce. Thank
you
very much.
Thank you. Other questions? All right, seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Lewis. We will now move on to community forum. This is the portion of our meeting that's reserved for persons wishing to speak to the council on anything that is not on our agenda tonight, but over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we set aside a total of up to 30 minutes for community forum. So when you please come to the podium, state your name for the record, and we look forward to hearing what you have to say. Come on forward.
Hello, my name is Sam Gottlieb, and thank you to the Atascadero City Council, Mayor Moreno, for the certificate of recognition for this month, which is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So I am the Chief People and Culture Officer at Lumina Alliance, which is a local nonprofit organization whose vision is to create a safe, thriving, and equitable community free of sexual and intimate partner violence here in San Luis Obispo County. Sexual Assault Awareness Month, or SAM, it's ironic, I know. Sexual Assault Awareness Month is an opportunity for all of us to reflect on the progress our community has made in supporting survivors of sexual violence while also acknowledging the work ahead of us. Last year alone, Lumina Alliance volunteers and advocates answered 2,189 calls for help that came into our business line and our 24-hour crisis line. This emphasizes how prevalent sexual assault still is in our culture and, unfortunately, in our community. So this year, Lumina Alliance celebrates 45 years of serving survivors here in San Luis Obispo County. And yet, our community's commitment to supporting these survivors began even before that. The first Rape Crisis Center in San Luis Obispo began taking calls in 1976, establishing the first 24-hour crisis line. Today, Lumina Alliance continues to host and staff this 24-hour crisis line, in addition to providing other vital services, such as transitional and emergency housing, individual and group therapy, as well as violence prevention programs and education programs. Unfortunately, this year also marks a difficult time for those dedicated to supporting survivors. Substantial cuts to the Victims of Crime Act, or VOCA, are on the horizon. This significantly impacts all areas of client services, including a potential reduction in the hours of the crisis line for the first time in its 48-year history. Just to make sure everybody knows, VOCA is one of the largest funds for victim services in the nation. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month and is dedicated to creating a community that not only condemns sexual violence of all kinds, but actively works together to fight against it. Now, more than ever, we need our community to take a stand against sexual assault and to speak out in support of the services that allow survivors to seek justice, heal, and thrive. So please visit LuminaAlliance.org/VOCA, V-O-C-A, to learn how you can help. And please remember, if you or anyone you know is experiencing sexual or intimate partner violence and you need help, please call 805-545-8888, our 24-hour crisis and information line. And you can speak with one of our confidential advocates.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Welcome to our next speaker.
Good evening, Council. Jim Wilkins with the Tascadero Historical Society. I have a couple items I wanted to discuss tonight. The first one's going to be it's the Growing Green Communities Grant, and it's funded through Relief, California Relief. And ALPS applied for the grant, and they received it, and they're going to plant 8 oak trees up at the Colony Heritage Center. And we're going to do that this Saturday from 9 o'clock till however long it takes to plant 8 trees. There will be representatives from PG&E, representatives and volunteers from ALPS, and representatives and volunteers from the Historical Society. So if you wish to come up and play in the dirt, we'll be up there. And most of the trees will go on the tree easement part of the property up there. The second thing is we have an agreement up there with Hotel Park and the county as far as the parking arrangements, and the Historical Society owns 64 of those parking lots right down the center. I was hoping to get a map here, but it didn't show up. If you kind of imagine driving up there to the Hotel Park side where the commercial buildings are, all of the parking that's in the front is the Hotel Parks, and the parking right along the buildings is for the Hotel Park. This is on their property. And then the parking lots around the back, it's just the ones facing their building. On the county side where the library is there's the parking lot down in front, and then there's no parking in front of the library building, and then the first two rows into the parking lot are on the county property. The rest of that parking lot is owned by the Historical Society. So in that parking arrangement, the Hotel Park has 41 parking spots, the county has 50 parking spots, there's the picture, and the Historical Society has 64 parking lots. We've been using it as a fundraiser. I'm just here tonight to kind of make the community aware that we are the owners of part of that property up there. We've done it twice. We did it for Fall Festival last year, which was a little bit wet. And then we did it for Winter Wonderland, which was worked out very well. We'd like to do it for the Tamale Festival, maybe Cruise Night, Fall Festival again, Winter Wonderland. We spent about $9,000 to help resurface the parking lot and stripe it. We're just trying to recoup some money back, and fundraisers have been a little slow, so we thought, why not use our part of the parking lot? We do ask the county to park their cars over on their side, which they do, which opens up our 64 parking spots. So I'm just here to kind of make the public a little more aware that when they pull up there, that it is legal what we're doing, because we do own the property. We had some people that weren't very happy with us not knowing we owned the property. So, but it's, you know, additional parking, and it's 64 of them are ours, so we just trying to be good neighbors with everybody up there. So thanks for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkins. Next speaker.
Good evening, council and staff again. Jeff Oslin, business owner. Two things. Saturday strategic planning. I did attend quite a bit of it, and I will say it is really nice to see that our city employees, staff, and council that we have an incredible culture in this city. It's pretty amazing, and I think our employees are very happy to work for the city of Atascadero, and I think that is incredible because you don't see that in a lot of places. Thank you. On a more serious note, Senate Bill, was it 1783, I believe, as I log back in, sorry. 1383, which is the waste management, recycling and all that mandated from the state. And I know our city's been working on it for a long time. There was letters sent out by IWMA and waste management. And I don't know the involvement that our city had in it, but I want to back up a little bit. Two and a half years ago, waste management went around to a lot of businesses and required them to have green bins, whether they needed them or not. And now we have letters saying we have to file for exemptions or we're going to pay approximately $50 a week. I have reached out to Mr. Charles Burbeau on this and also city staff. So it'd be $2,600 for Glenn's repair to have a green waste bin for the few leaves that we have and a little bit of grass that we have. So now we can put the stuff in the dumpster officially. I will let you know that I did have the trash police come by on Friday afternoon and literally take pictures of all of my green waste container to make sure it was empty, my trash bin and my recycling. And I think this is a little overkill for what's going on. But the more serious part of this whole thing is the way I read the letter that was sent out says that everybody must comply. Now, if you don't want to comply with this, you have to file an exemption. So if you're in a condo place, and I'm just talking businesses, I'm not talking about multi-family homes at the moment, but if you're in a business, and let's pick on the Adobe Plaza, the way this letter reads and the way things read, every single unit would have to file for an exemption, even though that HOA or that particular plaza has a landscaper, you still have to go on and file individually the way this confusing letter reads. And I think the city needs to hopefully jump in a little bit and have some clarification on what really needs to happen. Is it to everything? Because they want to know who's hauling your green waste out. So I think that's what I have for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oslin. Other members of the public wishing to speak to community forum, please come on over now. No need to wait.
Okay. Hello, I am Toby Frangie, the owner of 4600 San Paolo Road. We are directly adjacent to Sonic. I want to start off by saying that we are not against Sonic going in. We've had many homeless issues in the past in this area, people leaving trash and eating in and out in our parking lot, in the adjacent parking lot, vandalism of our building also. So we welcome the business going in there. I have wanted to be prepared for Sonic's opening because it significantly impacts my private property and three other property owners down from me. As of now, we are possible use as a stacking area for the drive-through, with arrows directing traffic flow from our property through the drive-through. It is confusing, so if not addressed, people will assume we are a gateway to the drive-through entry. We have already seen people access Sonic from my property. Along my property is a marked fire lane for emergency services. If cars go either way, in or out, this blocks the fire lane. Traffic in and out could cause accidents. Signs are not a significant enough deterrent. I'm thankful that I was approved for an electric gate in this area. I am not exactly sure why it must be electric, but that is what I was told was required. However, it will take a minimum of 8 weeks for the installation, permit process, electrician, custom gate manufacturing, and inspections. Also, it will cost me upwards of $16,000. With the opening of Sonic, I have little protection. A temporary fence would be a clear signal for traffic flow. It would not hinder fire access. There is another driveway to my property, and a temporary fence would be very movable. if there was an emergency. If there was a fire, you would not go through Sonic's crowded drive-through anyways. You would access my property through the other driveway. There is a street access to my building also on San Paolo Road, also with a fire hydrant right there. Ever since the first meeting almost a year ago, I have been trying to prepare for Sonic's opening. My lawyer has been in constant contact with Phil Dunsmore about this issue with little help or guidance. We have been led on that something would be done or that a solution was being worked on besides signs. Reality is there was no solution being worked on other than two signs, and I have other property owners who are left to, and I and other property owners have been left to fend for ourselves and scramble at the very last minute to protect our property. If we were told we would have had to apply for a permit for an electric gate 5 months ago, it would have been done by now. Now we are left with little options and ways to protect our property from Sonic's traffic, customers, and delivery vehicles during what would probably be Sonic's opening and busiest time. I am here asking for the okay to put a temporary fence in for the safety and for my occupants and the property owner's occupants until our permit is approved and the custom electric gate is manufactured. This would protect our property during Sonic's opening and busiest days and nights. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak at community forum who's here in chambers? I'm not seeing anybody indicate on Zoom. I am not seeing anyone, but if our member of the public does want to speak, please raise your hand. And I'm not seeing anyone on the phone. Is that correct? Okay. So going once, twice. All right, we'll go ahead and close community forum, bring that back to council and staff. So. Yeah, I would ask staff just with regards to the last two speakers regarding the trash and the business condos. That is a good point, and I don't know if Councilmember Borbeau has any insight in terms of if there is a condo type business and does every single one have to follow? Is it a property owner?
My understanding would be that it's whoever the trash customer is. In other words, if the trash customer is the center, it's the center. If the trash customer is each individual business, then it's each individual business. And I can tell you that Mr. Osmond has been granted his waiver. I was advised that today, which is why the trash police, as he described them, visited. Because part of the state law is, of course, that the IWMA, on behalf of the city, is the one that's responsible for granting, and justifying, and keeping the documentation for having granted the waivers.
And to be clear to the public, the whole trash police thing, that is because of the Senate Bill 1383,
correct.
Not because of something the city is trying to implement.
Yeah, it's not the city's trash police.
Nope.
It's actually an IWMA contractor who maintains all that documentation. But Mr. Osland has been granted his waiver. I did express and share his concern that if that is the actual cost of a green waste bin, which is really for some businesses no larger than what we would have at our own individual households, that would seem very excessive, and I understood that might be $50 a month. I don't know if Laura Christensen, our clerk who also handled those negotiations, might be able to answer that question.
And what I would say is just as we go forward, if we're hearing complaints and getting things, then maybe we need to be working, whether it's through IWMA or working even through the chamber and getting the word out. So if we have something like that, okay. And then maybe you can get with Councilmember Borbeau, who would like to know more about the cost. Thank you. And then with regards to the San Paolo, I would ask if a temporary fence is available, if you could get together with staff and see if that is something that is available. We can't make that decision here.
Right. And I think that there's a larger staff is working on trying to understand the whole project itself, because there were some subdivisions that we weren't aware of. There were some deed restrictions that were placed on some and fell off of others. The use is not consistent with the zoning, which is why there's this. So the city attorney and community development director are working on putting together a kind of a chronology and understanding so we can meet with folks out there and talk to them about potential solutions that they'll be part of. But I know, Chief, were you involved in any of the discussions about the gate? Have you?
I don't have any of the exact details on the gate, but I know my fire marshal, battalion chief, Dave Anson, has been in good communication with community development director Dunsmore, and I know they're working on a plan.
So I'll follow up again tomorrow, but this isn't a simple issue, and there are, so we're aware of it, and we're working on it, and we will be in touch with you, but we need a little time to put it together.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, we will move on. We have no public hearings and no management reports this evening, so we'll move on to council announcements and committee reports. So this is council members, if we've been involved in anything that we want to briefly tell you about within the community, or a report from any of the committees on which we serve. So we'll go just from my left to my right, start with Council Member Darris.
Thank you, Mayor. I spent the better part of last week in Sacramento with our city manager and Mayor Pro Tem Funk at the California League of Cities conference. Went to a lot of sessions, a lot of good discussions on homelessness, how to deal with commercial crime, and just an absolute number of things. It was a very busy and productive week. And then, of course, Saturday was a great meeting with staff and council and everything, too. So other than that, all the committees that I'm normally on, I think I missed because I was in Sacramento, so I don't have anything to discuss on that. Thank you.
No committee meetings since our last council meeting, and I did have the opportunity to be a server for Echo's Empty Bowls fundraiser alongside our new police chief, Dan Suttles, and that was a great event, and appreciate the community's support for that. So thanks.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
Yes, along with Councilmember Darris, I was in Sacramento last week for a week, or almost all week, for the League of California Cities City Leaders Summit, including sessions that Member Darris talked about. We also met with former State Superintendent of Schools Jack O'Connell and some colleagues of his firm, and getting a detailed briefing on the machinations underneath the state's budget resolution and some of what we're all kind of watching for early May to get greater clarity about actually how much money there is, and a discussion about the fact that the spikes and troughs in the state's budget reflect the state's commitment to the particular way in which we collect revenues, because it's a deliberate effect of the tax structure, so that because we get more of our revenue in the state from the income tax of the top 1% of earners, when those earners have big stock bonuses that they cash out on and those kinds of things, the state gets a windfall, and then when those kinds of deals aren't happening, the state suddenly doesn't have that money, and it doesn't reflect changes in spending radically so much as the volatility that is inherent in the tax structure. Okay, I want to thank Councilmember Bourbeau for filling in for me at the Homeless Services Oversight Council Executive Committee while I was off in Sacramento. HSOC does have a special meeting tomorrow afternoon looking at grant things. Design Review Committee will be meeting on May 2nd, I believe, that's a Thursday, to look at the Colley Market Deli and one other project. I was in communication with Wendy Lewis, who wants to thank the community and the council for support of the Empty Bowls and of Echo Shelter. They had a very successful event, and they are up to 80 people that they have now housed so far this year, gotten into permanent housing. So they are breaking the records that they set last year.
Councilmember Newsom?
That was going to be my correction to myself. I didn't attend any of my regular committee meetings, but I did attend the HSOC on behalf of Mayor Pro Tem Funk. So
yes,
she covered
it. That.
Thank you.
I know you didn't attend any of my meetings because it's been kind of quiet for me, so nothing to report.
I attended the countywide mayor's meeting last week. Assemblywoman Addis attended, and I really appreciate her. She formed the Central Coast Caucus, and so there are now 10 members of the legislature on that caucus to really advocate for our area, because we are a smaller area. We're not like San Francisco and LA and all the others, so it's good to have voices kind of coming together to speak on our behalf. A lot of you, I know, have had struggles with, particularly fire insurance, home insurance related to fires, and
I know that the legislature has been working on that, hasn't been successful, she says, and some of my colleagues probably saw the email that came around, and there was something today that Commissioner, Interest Commissioner Lara was doing with regards to trying to get a fix for this by the end of the year. But the bottom line is insurance rates will be going up. That's what we're looking at. But more importantly, we need to make sure people can get insurance because the FAIR plan is oversubscribed. That's the state's plan, and so something really needs to be done to fix this problem for so many of our residents. Lastly, I will have SLOCOG and RTA next week, San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, Regional Transit Authority, and what is on our agenda is that we will not be moving forward with the sales tax measure, so that has been sort of put aside, and we won't be voting on that. So I see a member of our audience looking to clap here. So, and that is it for my reports. Looking forward to empty bowls this coming week in Paso. And moving on to individual determinations, I'm not seeing any here. Any Councilmember Borbo?
Yeah, I do have one. A while back, you know, it being a small town, I ran into our city treasurer, Jerry Seebach, in Food for Less and had a lengthy conversation. About his concern about the elected office of treasurer, which he has been for multiple terms now, and is, you know, extremely qualified, overqualified, having been our county auditor controller for many years before he retired from that. He was suggesting that we consider putting on the ballot for our voters to consider changing the city treasurer position from elected to appointed. You may recall we did put both the city clerk and city treasurer on the ballot, I think in 2018, maybe, I think it was 18. It would have been 16. In any case, one of the clerk measure passed narrowly, and the treasurer measure failed narrowly. So now we appoint our city clerk. We still elect our city treasurer, and it's been a concern somewhat of mine because I was the city treasurer myself almost 40 years ago, briefly, and was actually succeeded by Jerry Seebach for a short period. But also our city, you know, went through a period of time with what we call the Orange County crisis, where our city treasurer, in good faith, but nonetheless made an error and invested in a fund run by Orange County, and Orange County got caught up in something and almost went or did go bankrupt. And a little bit of concern that if you have an untrained, elected city treasurer, that it would be better, and I think we might be one of only two cities in the county that currently have an elected city treasurer. And usually it's the full-time finance director, or in our case, admin services director, who is appointed the city treasurer. So I would just wanted to bring up my colleagues because I discussed it with our city manager this morning about we would need to get moving on that if we wanted to put that on the ballot this year. Because you want to put it on the ballot in a year that the city treasurer is not up for election. Because otherwise it gets a little awkward to be up for election for an office that you're proposing to be eliminated. Not eliminated, but changed to appointed status. So anyway, I bring that up for my colleagues' consideration as to whether or not we would want the staff to bring that issue back at all or discuss it further at some other point in time.
Yeah, so obviously not an issue that we can discuss tonight because it's not agendized. I would certainly be willing to ask staff to bring that back at a future meeting. Would others be inclined to that as well?
Yeah.
I'm seeing consensus 5-0, so why don't we bring that back? And any other individual determinations? I am seeing none, so meeting adjourned. We'll see you on May 14th, I believe.